CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, CliffCentral.com on a Monday, just after 7 o'clock. Hope your day and your week is off to an awesome start. And if it isn't, we're going to help you get there. That's kind of how we operate. I noticed Jen Hsu is all over this Oprah interview. She's posting a whole lot of stuff on her social media.
So oh, yeah?
If you want to get the latest, just follow Jen Hsu on Instagram. She's putting up all of the stuff. Apparently, Archie, I don't know anyone cares about this, but Archie's favorite word is hydrate.
Oh, gosh.
That is so made up by the parents. I don't believe a word of it.
That was like a set of family friends we had who were very posh. Mm. And she said to the little boy, who was a toddler and sitting on the floor and eating, she said, "Have you had sufficient?"
Oh, God.
And he looked up to her and said, "Mommy, what's sufficient?"
Oh.
All right. Well,
it's
Monday and we've got a week ahead of us. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. We've got a brand new show to record for you today for TV. That's going to be on ENCA on Wednesday. Got some interesting feedback from, oh, by the way, one of the guests this week, haven't we got Vinnie Lingham on this week?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So,
one-on-one interview.
Yeah. Vinnie Lingham he lives in San Francisco and in Silicon Valley. I think they've actually moved to San Diego. Recently, but he knows how that place actually works, and it's always good to check in with him. You know, he's been on the show before. We love Vinny. He sometimes listens to us. He might be listening to us right now, and he's
hi,
just,
Vinny.
Yeah, he's just proof. He's just proof again that South Africans can do incredible things overseas. You know, it's not just Elon Musk. There are lots of others who've done very, very well. 5 years ago today, I was on my way to Austin, Texas, to South by Southwest, which was very cool.
Oh, well, you found some Mies.
I ate some Mies. Mies being, you know what that is, Leanne?
I've forgotten. I remember you mentioned it. What
there
is it again?
There's a caravan with these two brothers, big African-American dudes who would like cut the meat off the bone and serve it to you in a sandwich or whatever, but like big, thick Texas sandwiches with like everything on it, the kind of stuff that killed Elvis Presley, you know? And their van was called the something Mies, M-E-Z-E. And I said to Toby Shapshack or to Brett Lobsher, who were with me, I said, "What the hell is that all about?" And they're like, "It's meat, Mies. You can get all these different kinds of Mies." Damn, it was fine. I'll tell you that much. Oof. Good food.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness you're not going there now. They're still battling through some things there.
Is it still cold?
The weather. I think it's improving, but the problem now is that all the pipes are bursting because of the different temperatures. People's houses are flooded. There's still power issues. I know of people, a sister of a friend of mine, where they've had to move into a hotel because their home's unlivable. So, yeah, thank goodness you're not going now.
I've got a few emails I wanted to get to this morning, and Mapelo sent this to us. Mapelo said, "Morning, guys. Hope you're well. I'm so grateful for the show. I'm a 21-year-old, and I listen to you guys from the point of view of education. It's helped me to increase my confidence in my debating skills. I don't lose debates anymore." Is that because you are like emotional like Sia and Leanne and I? after every show I've listened to, I felt wiser and cleverer. I don't know if you've sent this to the right show, actually, now that I think about it. Mapelo, are you sure this was meant for us? I have a much improved vocabulary as someone who grew up in the rurals of the Eastern Cape where people give you a side look when you're speaking English. I always recommend the show to people and they're surprised that I don't talk about radio anymore. I used to listen to radio all the time till I discovered you guys. Now I can't stand radio because most of their shows lack content and it's all about rotating childish content like their 20, 30, 40 minutes of nonstop music every hour. Maybe they haven't realized that there are a lot of music platforms out there. Yeah, that's such a weird thing. Like, why would you be marketing yourself in radio today? And I haven't listened for a long time, so I'm not the right person to offer judgment on this. But I do remember, and Leanne, you'll remember this too, like it was a big deal once that you could play like an hour of uninterrupted music.
Yeah.
But now you can do that on Spotify, or you could do that on Apple Music, and you can actually have the music you want, and it can be updated, yeah. And you can get suggestions, and you can even follow your friends' playlists. So why would you want to listen to some idiot program director's idea of what music should be listened to?
Gareth, well, it still exists. You know, I was listening to, I was scrolling through channels in my car, radio stations. And the hot one, what's it, hot 90-something?
The hot one.
Yeah. And they still follow a very old radio format. And it's for people, I suppose, my age or older, who want that exact format. And they've got all the cheesy time checks and, you know, that happy birthdays and all of those things. And some people still want that. I mean, I was in the pharmacy the other day and someone said, oh, Mol, there's a famous South African radio person with that surname. I always hate it when that happens because you've got to go,
gosh.
Yeah, no, it's me. And then they get embarrassed, you know. It's always so awkward, awkward.
I mean, I guess.
But whatever happened to Gareth and why did they hate him? I was like, who's they? Okay, firstly. And I said, and we're still around. We're on Cliff Central. And she went, oh, is that on the radio?
Oh, God.
And I said, no, it's you have to listen. I only listen to the radio. There's all those people.
That's almost
there's still that group.
I get it. That's like a bit of nostalgia. And that's also the people who don't want things to change. They're the people who like things to stay the same. They're not big on, you know, technology. They don't really want to. And when they discover, like my parents, I had to drag them kicking and screaming into the world of podcasting. And now they're into it. Hey, they download. My dad is listening to a whole bunch of other podcasts too. And this is what they do now. So it's possible to change them, but you've got to really like do all the hard work for them in the beginning. Cause they don't enjoy the idea of like having to use their phone instead of just turn on the radio in the car.
Yeah, like my dad's still against buying or having food delivered from a takeaway.
Oh, really?
Is that too much?
Yeah. And I said to him, but Dad, it's between 3 and 5 rand for delivery.
Yeah.
No, it still means that you're lazy. And my parents as well have recently delved back into the world of DVDs.
They'll order and then he'll go and collect it.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
No. And now they're into DVDs.
And he probably calls in to order as opposed to use an app. And
yes, that's what we do every week. And the restaurant owner knows him and comes out and brings the food to his car.
Yeah, but it's
what I mean.
Yeah, he's got a special thing with the restaurant owner. So
and the restaurant gives him a gift every Christmas.
There we go.
That's sweet.
When we phone and place our order, we don't even say who we are. They know.
Do you remember what an annoyance? I want to hear about the DVDs in a second, but you just made me think of something.
Yeah.
I remember when we used to, before the apps came along, and you did place an order at a takeaway place, and you'd end up speaking on the phone with someone, and you'd never really know if you were going to get the order that you wanted because some of the stuff would be lost in translation. And, you know, they'd ask me for my surname, and then they'd spell it K-L-I-S, or there would be something. You know, it was always a disaster. And when these apps came along and you didn't have to actually talk to a person, oh, man, I was happy. I love it so much.
Yeah, for sure.
So why do they get back into DVDs all of a sudden?
We've tried to introduce them to Netflix and all of that. But they still like their traditional TV and being able to tune in at a certain time to watch something. And just recently my dad started getting DVDs again and I saw one and I thought it said Video Spot on it. It looked so archaic. What? But yeah, there are still Video Spots out and about. And my dad's been getting good old Fawlty Towers and A Fish Called Wanda and classics like that. And my parents been watching and enjoying those.
Well, I'm a sucker for a good bargain, and this weekend I went to a mall and I actually had to will myself out of it because music and the likes, you know, are all closing, and so they're trying to get all of the stock out as much as possible.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of these CDs marked down. I thought, there's this insatiable urge in me that goes, Sia, you're getting it at a bargain.
Get
it now. Get like three CDs for 30 rand. You have to do it. And I had to will myself to go, no, idiot, you won't need it anyway. But speaking about that, I went to Four Ways Mall for the first time after its massive renovation.
Yeah.
Malls like that are unnecessarily huge.
Yeah, and especially because people aren't going to them in the frequencies and the numbers that they used to.
Wow.
I saw something very sad.
So huge.
Apparently the Michelangelo Hotel. Remember that they had that bar there, and obviously it was full of like prostitutes a lot of the time. But
oh, I didn't know that.
No, it used to be pretty smart.
Could we use another term?
I'll tell you why I know this. Okay, so I had a friend who came out from Texas, and she was staying at that hotel because it was right in the middle of Sandton, and it was very convenient. Mm-hmm. And I know when the Michelangelo launched, it was a very prestigious hotel. It was like a 5-star. Hotel in the middle of Sandton.
Mm.
And so this friend of mine stayed there, and she invited me one night for coffee because she was going to fly out the next morning and I wouldn't see her again. And I said, sure, I'll come and meet you. Where are you? And she said, the Michelangelo. So I went, okay. And I went there, and whether you were there in day or night, there were all these very dolled up women sitting at the bar with extremely high heels and sometimes clear heels on. And they would be sitting there, you know, stirring a glass of water or whatever, because they were obviously, you know, waiting for some trade. And Trisbob that night went to sit down with Isabel, and I was sitting there talking to her, and she said to me, why didn't you want to come here? So I was like, no, there's nothing wrong with Sandton, but this, you know, there are a lot of hookers at this hotel. So she said, how do you know? So I said, just look. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, I'm pretty naive, but even I could figure it out. Anyway, it was always a smart-looking place, and they had, like, the piano bar. And in the beginning, certainly, it was very nice, and people would meet there, and it was, you know, it was lovely. People would love to go to the Michelangelo for a coffee, or they did these really nice teas and things. And there was someone playing the piano. It was pretty. It was sophisticated. And I saw the doors are shut and chained closed, and the place is shut completely. The hotel does not exist anymore, which is very sad. Yeah. I don't know if it's permanently closed, if someone's bought it or what the story is, but it's not there. It's not open for business. And I think they shut at the beginning of lockdown and they haven't reopened. So
that's a shame.
Yeah. Bit of a sad state of affairs.
I think there are going to be many places like that, if not already.
Yeah.
And big shopping malls and business centers. And yeah, I think everything's changing.
Yeah.
Shame.
Quick.
But on that note, a good morning to all of the ladies and the gentlemen of the night.
Yeah. I mean, Sia, you're the one who judges them usually. So I'm glad that you were the one to say that. That's nice of you.
I'm just saying good morning to them. They're wiping some baby oil off their body. They're shaking the glitter out of their hair.
That's right.
They've swapped the clear high heels for some slippers now. Good morning.
Just a quick email from a woman of color who regularly emails us from the Netherlands. She says, thanks for the possibility of watching the show on YouTube. So she's enjoying that. By the way, we got a million views on YouTube by Friday, which is pretty damn fast, don't you think?
I think it's amazing. It's the fastest I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, we did have, it has to be said, we did have some videos up before on our Cliff Central channel. So it's not as if we started from zero at the beginning of last week. But it grew very quickly, and thank you to everybody who's subscribing and to everybody who's watching us in the morning. It makes it worthwhile, so that's why we're going to do this.
Do you get like a plaque from YouTube?
I think when you have a million subscribers, you get a plaque, and then you know as you grow up, you get more and more important. Anyway, I'm just thrilled that it's working because we didn't know whether this was a thing or not. So Woman of Color says, Leanne, well, she needs specific advice from you. Any advice for my 13-year-old daughter who has massive cans like yours?
She's 13.
13.
Jeepers. I mean, yeah.
What advice? 13, come on, Leanne, give us some advice.
I certainly was more developed than my friends at the age of 13, but I didn't have massive cans, that's for sure. I mean, I was a good old, what do they call it, AA stroke A. So, yeah, that's a different situation. But I would definitely recommend going to a professional bra fitter. That's number one. It's a big education.
Okay.
Trying on in a store is like finding a needle in a haystack. The variations are just far too large. You're never going to get there.
When did you start developing enormous breastises?
Oh, well, it was around the time. Oh, that's for Leanne. Sorry.
I remember being at my grand's house. I always had little boobs, like in my pictures. So it would say Leanne sitting nicely on her own at 3 months. And there I was with boobs already.
Wow.
But that was just sort of baby fat, you know?
Okay. Can I say that's
and then, I remember being at my grand's and my mom and her were having a conversation about boobs. And it was before my friends had started developing boobs. And I remember my mom wanted to feel mine because the way to feel is if you're actually developing is you'll feel a hard pip inside. And that's when you know whether it's just still baby fat or if you've started developing breast tissue. And I was so confused as to why she wanted to feel. And she went, yep. Okay. We're going to go and get a bra.
Okay.
And I must have been about, I was in standard 5. I started school when I was 5. So I was 11 or 12 okay. when I started wearing, carry the 4 minus the square minus root the, of.
Yeah. So,
I only started getting ready and my friends would all, I think it stemmed from a little bit of jealousy. They would put, when they eventually got bras, they would stuff tissues into their bras and say that they were me. But at that stage, I had already got onto like a B.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I found it hurtful, but I realize now it came from a place of jealousy, really.
Well, you're the only person out of the three of us on this show this morning who's had songs written about your breasts. Many, many songs.
Yeah.
Many
songs. I'm honored.
Honor.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yes. It's a
beautiful honor.
Remember how every week we had a different song about your breasts? It was amazing. People were just great composers would send in their versions. It was incredible. Celebrities. It was fantastic.
My boobs. Thank you.
Yeah, Tracy has some useful advice for women of color. Good support is what you need emotionally, and a few good bras. And give her the option of having them reduced when she's ready and fully developed.
And support for me is key in all of this conversation, especially when I found out when I bought a Fine Gael Law English dictionary. And the word for bra was support. So, yes, physical and emotional support.
And the reduction can count as like a medical surgery, right? Not cosmetic.
Yeah. Like it's a health thing, yeah.
Yes, it can. So, yeah, it would depend on the size. They actually weigh your boobs.
Hmm.
You flop them over into a scale that usually weighs whales.
Yeah. You plump them. You slap them down on the scale, and then it weighs your actual breasts. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's got a lot to do with your frame, how big you are to start with. But yes, I mean, I've had lower back pain all my life. I would have made a change a long time ago, but a lot of it's fear of the pain, the recovery, the scarring, the thought of your nipple being cut off, and also the cost.
Oh,
yeah.
It won't all be covered by medical aid. That's the thing. There'll be extra charges.
I mean, Fatiswa's got the opposite problem. So Fatiswa says all she wants is big boobs. They only get big from an A to a D during and after pregnancy. I'm still considering buying a set. Well, yeah. See, opposite problem there. Ruth says she was teased relentlessly Dolly Parton, number two.
Yes.
Name calling about all that. Now wow. I laugh. And then at that stage, it hurt me, but now I laugh, says Ruth. Yeah.
Men really have it easy, hey?
We do.
When it comes to us and our bodies and
yeah.
We don't have to worry about a lot of things.
Although Andre makes the point, do you think that bodybuilders with massive pecs wear bras during the day for support?
Come on.
No, because it's muscle. I suppose unless they're bulking up and they develop moves, then it might be different. But no, I think
support.
It's breast tissue and muscle tissue are different.
All right.
But for support.
So. Woman of Color's email continues, though. That's not all she wants to say. She's she's talking about the general elections which are happening in the Netherlands at the moment, and she's undecided as to which party to vote for. So she took one of those online tests. It turns out that she's a thorough capitalist, and she's right of center. Let me explain, she says, that I am a person of color, but that doesn't matter in my life. White is a color, and so are brown and black, which is interesting because of the conversation we had about Meghan and Harry earlier. She says, I'm uncomfortable voting for a right-wing party since I am a skilled immigrant, and I believe immigrants add value. And most of those right-wing parties are anti-immigration, right? She says, people have to integrate, though. This is my only sticking point. Otherwise, I would agree with their manifestos, i.e. I'm against lockdowns. I'd very much like to stop paying 52% of my salary to the government in taxes. I'm against full face veils. Yeah. And I'm not happy to be taxed on my savings. I find myself considering voting for one of two innocuous socialist parties, she said. There's one called the Partij voor de Dieren, which is the animal party. And then there's the Partij voor de Pirates, a pirate party. So these are the options that Woman of Color has for voting. She goes, I love the Dutch and freedom of choice, but a party for pedophiles is taking it just wrong. They are not eligible for this year's elections, but there actually are a party of pedophiles running for next year's elections.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so an interesting point, Woman of Color, is that many of these right-wing parties...
I'm sorry. We can't just gloss over that. What?
That's what
just
she says.
Just a party of pedophiles.
Yeah, she says there's a party for pedophiles. Holland.
There's also a big difference between a party of pedophiles and a party for pedophiles.
Ooh,
the party of might be a group of five old dirty men running around, but a whole party for them is another story, you know?
Well, oh, yeah. And then what's their manifesto? Because I'm sure they use their expertise and what they've done as a unique selling point. So what do they say? You know what? Actually, I don't even want to think about it. No.
No, we can't go this
well,
year.
I do have to point out to Woman of Color that it's probably true that the right-wing parties, as you label them, and they probably are right of center rather than right parties because, you know, there are very few people who would be proudly right-wing these days because it carries all kinds of ugly connotations with it. And they may be anti-illegal immigration, but they're probably not anti-immigration. So you might want to check that out too. Anyway, it sounds like you've got to choose between the Partij voor de Dieren, the animal party, or the pirate party. I mean, you know, it's all fun and games. So that's the latest from Holland, thanks to Woman of Color. Nice. Good to hear from you.
Wow.
As always, yeah.
Just find a party who would, like, support, I don't know, free bras for young girls.
Of those things. Exactly. That's what you should be going for. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pedophile!
The pedophile party might be for that. You've got to be careful.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
So we spoke last week about how we're going to maybe incorporate some kind of mental health feature in the show, and we're working very much on that at the moment. So I just wanted to give you an update in case you're one of the people who's emailed me with suggestions. We are taking all of your suggestions and all of your comments on that, and putting them into something which we're going to launch shortly. It's going to be different to the usual kind of, you know, psychology on the radio stuff that you might have heard before. And another thing that's happening this week is there is a proudly South African Buy Local Summit, which is happening online. And we will be joining that on Tuesday. So you might want to
be very nice.
Yeah. So that's very cool. Trying to encourage people to buy local products and support local industry in South Africa as a part of what Proudly South African do. Very, very nice stuff.
All virtual.
Very good.
All virtual. You don't have to actually go anywhere. You can just partake from wherever you do your work now. And again, thank you to Rich Mulholland, who was on last week and who gave us some very good tips on how we could do video conferencing better. I've decided I'm going to have to go and buy one of those influencer lights, especially because we're now doing YouTube and
Beauty light, a beauty ring.
Is it a beauty ring? I've heard it's an influencer light, so it's a beauty ring, is it? Okay. I was resisting for months and months and years the idea of becoming a YouTuber. And now I'm going to have a beauty ring. This is the
Well, you are. This you're, is the you're stat into tube. You have to.
Yeah, this is me. This is me going into complete decline. I'm so sorry. This is very embarrassing for me to admit.
Well, if you get a beauty ring, then Sia and I are going to have to get them. Otherwise, you'll look way more beautiful than us.
Yeah. Does it work?
Yes.
At this stage,
I don't have one myself.
I'll take any help
I've seen
I can
how
get.
The difference.
And what are they cheap? You could buy them at like China Mall or whatever.
Yeah, I just buy them online Take a Lot or something.
What do you suggest, Sia? I know you've researched this because Sia's always looking at himself. The whole reason he likes virtual anything is because
Sia, what is your research on the beauty ring?
I'm trying to see where is this gift actually that I got. Somewhere around here, but I'll just explain it.
What
so
is your
long.
Research, Sia?
It's a clip-on... Please take me seriously here. It's a clip-on light, a ring light for your phone. Oh. So now you can even take selfies with essentially a beauty ring. Isn't that fancy? Oh. This actually works out well. I got it at my baby shower. Don't ask any.
You had a baby shower? Sure. There's quite a lot you haven't told us then.
Did you get a puppy?
No. Okay, I had a baby shower this weekend. Thank you very much.
But it wasn't for you.
It was for me.
No, you need to explain this now. Come on.
No, I actually think it was a sweet and a funny thing.
Did you have a food baby? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, my friends and I were just meeting up for dinner on Friday night. And, you know, I think I might have mentioned it on the show as well. I just go through... being nauseous sometimes and it's really, really bad. And it's, I don't know how to explain it. So there was just in passing last week, I mentioned it to my friends and they clearly had then planned this all in secret. I walked into what I thought was just dinner with my friends, but it was a full on baby shower for me. So they first started with just a little box that was wrapped and I thought, oh, this is like a sweet thing. As I unwrapped it, it was a pregnancy test. So they're like, no, go and pee on the stick. By the time I got out, there was sparkles, there was a whole, you know, congratulations on the baby poster, all of that. So if you were concerned, no, I'm not pregnant. I know we were all just holding our breath.
But oh, my Lord.
But you did get a beauty ring, which is terrific. That's very good news.
Yes, I got some gifts for my baby shower. Now I misplaced it.
Tracy wants to know, this is a good point. Sia, aren't you still married to that girl from Opikopi?
Oh, it's a very tricky situation because... yeah, legally we're still bound, even though our relationship isn't the same anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's a marriage of convenience.
Yes, yes, very much so. She's not the mother of the child, though.
Well, I'm proud of you, Sia. Well done. Congratulations on your baby shower.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Both non-existent baby and I are doing well.
It's just a great excuse for you to also get more presents, which is the real reason you did it, of course.
No, really can't believe they went through the effort of that, even with gifts and whatnot. I thought, this is sweet, but thanks.
Yeah. Listen, it's not going to be long and we're going to be back in the cold of winter. I mean, waking up this morning was a little bit chilly. And it's starting to get more and more like that every week. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. I'm a summer person, and just seeing all the trees starting to yellow slightly instead of being that bright green, not great.
Try to wear those shorts as much as you can now.
I know.
I'm quite relieved, although we didn't have too much of, lengthened periods of heat. We had a few heat waves, but I'm quite relieved that I don't have to lie down naked with wet face cloths placed all over my body and the fan on.
That's what you do. Is that a fun night in Leanne's house, or is that what you do to be cool?
Hello.
It's a make sure the blinds are closed and the curtains are closed night.
As a person who even grew up in Durban, which gets quite hot, I've never resorted to that level, but that just sounds like something you do for fun, really.
No, that's probably Leanne. There's something kinky going on she's not telling us about.
We're not here to judge. Definitely. Leanne. We are not.
It's all on. All right. A few things in the headlines that we haven't got to yet that we need to talk about. Leanne has a few stories, most of them around, we've discussed the crocodiles, which I know was a big deal. But there's some other things on Sia's agenda too this morning. And what is it that you want to get to, Sia?
Yeah, well, here's something. Just we touched on it last week sometime, but I found some research around it. What's really happening at Robben Island and particularly the Robben Island Museum.
Yeah, we spoke about how someone had been there and they listened to the show and they sent us a little upsetting bit of news that the place is not being looked after. It's looking a bit dilapidated. So what's the story?
Man, so they released some numbers last week on Friday, and looking at the 2020 and a bit of the 2021 holiday season, they recorded more than 90% drop in visitor numbers. That's essentially nothing that they have, and no one's going around there. And on top of that, one of the things they did with the profits from tourists is have a bursary fund for pupils who are interested in studying in the fields of museums or social science or history.
Yeah.
And so because of that and not having a lot of money, they've also had to cut that. So it's very sad that they've had to resort to those levels. But that's more than 90% drop in numbers. Shucks.
I'm not surprised it's 90%. I mean, with COVID and no tourists, I'm not surprised it was 100%. I'm surprised it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to go to Robben Island now? Well, especially because we've got all of this other stuff happening. It is sad, but at the same time, these guys have got to have a plan, right? They've got to have some backup plan. They've got to have some way of making money. Otherwise, what's going to happen? It's all going to just shut down forever.
Seems like part of their statement was just simply, this is their chief financial officer who said COVID-19 and the related economic onslaught have placed us in an unprecedented financial situation where our most pressing challenge is our short-term sustainability.
Sure.
They're trying to, in their words, explore ways to attract visitors and particularly domestic travelers and look forward to being in a position to fund education in South Africa for the next academic year.
There are going to be a lot of places that are suddenly going to be going out of business. I mean, we were talking just now, so I'm not surprised by the fact that, this is the kind of story that is likely to become more and more of an issue. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think a lot of people know what the answer is at the moment when it comes to this stuff. So we just got to figure it out, I suppose. Keep going, make sense of it wherever we can. It's a crazy situation. It's very, very messy and very, very difficult to fathom.
Yeah. Because what will happen if there is no funding? And, it's in a country and in a position of the world where people are just trying to make ends meet. Like, can I afford food and education for my own kids, and can I keep our house?
All right. Well, thanks for depressing us, Sia. That's great.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just bringing it up.
You're doing so well. This is terrific news.
Let's go back to talking about the party for pedophiles.
No, I didn't like that either, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm not on a good roll then.
Yeah, can we not go on to something completely safe and decent and something that will make people feel better this Monday morning? Surely.
Well, talking about bloggers.
Yes.
Talking about bloggers, there are these two bloggers in the US who about a year ago had quite a scathing attack on a number of fashion brands. And this is their vibe. You know, they talk about exploiting factory workers and cheap labor and all these fancy labels that are using these practices in their business.
Yeah.
And the one that they mentioned and investigated was Dolce & Gabbana.
Yes.
And it's taken a while for it to happen. It seemed to have, they actually filed a suit in 2019, but it's only become public about this now that the bloggers have posted about it on their Instagram account. So their account's called Diet Prada. So diet as in food diet and Prada. Mm. And they're widely followed by the fashion industry. And they talk about unoriginality in designs and then a lot of social issues as well. But they had a lot to say about Dolce & Gabbana in these terms.
Yeah.
And they are now being sued by Dolce & Gabbana for over $600 million in damages.
Well, you got it.
It's almost, it's half a bill.
You can't just say whatever you want about anybody. And if you don't have proof of something, you could end up having to pay a severe price for that. And I don't think that that's bad. That's just how the law works. And, you should be able to. I feel that a lot of these fashion houses, though, have been given a free pass for a long time. You remember there was the movement against fur for a while. And and that seems to have been largely successful. You know, it's not considered very palatable for fashion houses to have fur or to test products on animals. But there are still some things that are seemingly okay. Like, it seems okay that if you have slave labor in Indonesia, people, little children sometimes working away on handbags with needle and thread, that seems to not be such an issue to some of these people. And even to some of the customers, frankly. Oh, I got a nice handbag. You don't care where it came from, right?
In this case, it seemed a lot to, it was a lot around these culturally insensitive videos, which were promoting a major runway show that took place in Shanghai. But half of the delay in all of this is that the bloggers are in the US. The designers are in Italy.
Yeah.
And the alleged culturally insensitive video incident occurred in the Far East. So that's why they're trying to figure out where this thing would actually be tried.
Oh, right. Mm. Okay, so it's already got to that level, huh?
Yeah.
You know, but Gareth, you mentioned, I think, a pertinent point around people. Some people really don't care.
No.
And that, I think, it's more just about like, hey, what do I want and am I getting what I want? You know, how many years have we been hearing about X brand has switch shops, but we still go and buy it, or we find out that a certain store uses a coolest monkey in the jungle thing, and then we might be outraged for a couple of days, but hey, I still need a new t-shirt and I'll go and I'll get it, and then you move on. So is it wrong? Is it right? That's a different story. But also, when it comes to what I want, even the gaggle of gays, I have to say, they were, what did Dolce & Gabbana say a few years ago? But it was something around along the lines, which is really weird. They themselves are gay, and at a point they were a couple, but they said something along the lines of having children, gay people having children is unnatural and shouldn't happen, or they shouldn't have,
I remember that. There's something weird thing that almost like a self-loathing kind of comment. It was very weird. Caught a lot of people off guard.
Hey, then the new season comes around, and then there's the new Dolce and Gabbana and Dolce and Gabbana that, and hey, we forget all of that we start buying.
You think about people who are big activists online, and you know they've got these things to say on Instagram and Twitter about the exploitation of women, or the exploitation of child labor, or animal furs, or whatever their cause is. But then, you know, at the same time, they're busy flaunting all exactly the products that come out of those situations, and they don't seem to have a problem with that. It's like such obvious hypocrisy. But I suppose that's also part of the way people are. People are hypocrites. If you expect more, I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. Hypocrisy is absolutely built in to human beings. And that's why I don't take any of it too seriously. Like, I don't get too worked up if someone is pretending to be a massive activist about something, because sooner or later it's going to come up that they are a hypocrite, and then we can all move on. Don't worry about online activists. Don't take any of them seriously.
Yeah.
They're all stupid.
Because you'll start with the campaign, and you'll hashtag the right thing, and then Apple brings out a new phone, and you go,
actually. I'm going to get rid of this because I'm like anti-slavery. You know, what kind of lives the poor Chinese people who are making these phones lead? What misery that many of them are in? Come on. It's going to stop me from buying a phone? Hell no. Not my problem. I put it over there in my head. It's like in another place.
I think, if you think of veganism and everything that stands in the way of us, just eating anything off the shelves or from restaurants that we used to, and just the fact that people are so much more aware of it now. And in restaurants, they'll ask, where is this meat sourced from? Because just watching the trends on that, I think eventually, once we get that right, it may eventually lead to, I will not buy from this fashion house because of this, or I won't buy this fabric because of that.
Maybe it will. And I know that there are principled people who, for example, you know, they'll check the menu of a place to see where the fish are actually fished and whether they're ethically sourced and all of that stuff. And I know people who buy, you know, stuff at the shop and they read the label. But most of us don't. And I don't think I'm a completely unconscious consumer. I don't think I'm, you know, among the worst, but I'm certainly not the best. And I'm willing to admit, like, if I see, you know, an Avo and there's another Avo next to it, which is cheaper, I don't bother to think, well, maybe that Avo comes from, you know, some horrible farm in a part of the world where people are exploited. I just look at the price. Cool. I just go, I need the Avo.
Yeah. Mm. It's got a lot to do with that. And also because we were children of the 80s, where we ate tartrazine and GMOs MSG.
We've got cancer. We've got cancer just built in waiting to come out. I'm telling you.
It's funny as you compare generations, though, because this is – and I grew up in a time when – and I think we all then go through phases of being so passionate about something – I was slightly fanatical about PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Yes.
And I remember going onto their blog every couple of days and seeing where their latest protest was and how they'd go and, you know, stand by with red paint at a fashion show and they'd throw red paint on people who were wearing fur to symbolize the blood.
Yes.
And then I'll never forget one of my sisters having to like sit me down and almost stage a mini intervention when I thought PETA at a point had a tagline called "I'd rather go naked than wear fur." Yes. I was like, I need to take a naked photo. Okay. I need to show people that I am with PETA.
You were a big activist. That's quite cool. See, I didn't know that about you.
No, I was just going through something clearly. And she goes, "See, you're not going to take a naked photo. We don't need to see that. Who's going to do that? You'll regret it in years to come. Just don't." And I thought, okay, now I'm glad that doesn't exist.
I remember that campaign. Yeah. Mm.
Imagine
but
that.
But again, I mean, like if we did want to get into the psychology of so much of this stuff, and you know, some people just don't have a whole lot of purpose in their lives. They might not have had any struggle in their lives. It's easy for middle-class people in the Western world who don't have to worry about where their next meal comes from to have all kinds of principles about what they will and won't eat, where they will and won't go, what they will and won't buy. It's easy for them because they don't really have a struggle. Their lives are mostly safe and mostly very convenient.
Absolutely.
If you have no purpose, if you have no meaning, if you have no reason to wake up in the morning, you have to invent
enough distractions.
You have to invent things. You have to come up with stuff, and it makes you feel so good and so virtuous and so decent and so superior to other people, frankly, which is the reason so many people do it. If you can say, well, I don't eat fish that isn't ethically farmed, or I don't buy products that are not tested on animals, it makes you feel superior. And if you have to dig that deep into your buying habits in order to feel like a better human being, then your life is not so bad. And you can really take a moment to breathe and to congratulate yourself, because no one else is going to congratulate you for that. That's hardly heroism. It's a very, very low level of virtuousness. And if that's what you need, good for you. I'm not going to call you anything, because I sometimes fall short of my own lofty goals. So who the hell am I to criticize you? But if you walk around with your head held high thinking that you've saved the planet because you bought some bullshit organic thing, I hate to be the one to tell you, but it's not going to make a fucking difference.
But did you guys never go through a phase like that?
No. Oh,
you were power to
I
the
still
people
go through
for a cause, and
no.
I still go through phases like that.
Really? Yeah, I've always had like plenty of ways to express my thoughts and ideas and politics and all the rest. So I've never really felt the need to burden everyone else with my own activism as well. And that's why I don't go to protests and things. I've never ever been to a protest in my life, even if it's something I feel very strongly about. You know, there was all that that Jacob Zuma protesting that went on. There have been freedom of speech protests. These are things that I felt very strongly about. You'll never, ever catch me going into the street and doing. It's not going to happen.
Mm.
Yeah, that takes a lot. I don't see myself doing that either, and I don't know why.
It takes a lot, but the reason for me is much more practical. It's not just about being part of a group of people. It's being part of a mob. I am not a fan of the mob. I don't like the mob in virtual terms, and I don't like the mob in real practical terms. The minute I feel like I'm in a group of people, I want out. Because groups of people make terrible decisions, and groups of people are very seldom on the right side of history. I just don't want to be in those groups. The moment something starts feeling like it's a, you know, there's a cause, there's a collective consciousness going on, I run for the hills.
Like circle drumming.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Oh,
or firewalking.
What's it called?
Oh no. Yeah. Team building. No. You know what I'm like in those situations.
Oh yeah.
I cannot wait to get away from those things. Otherwise I become destructive. I try to not only ruin it for myself, but ruin it for everyone else too.
Yeah.
I don't want them to have a good collective experience, even if it's something positive, because I think that it's the same. That's the same mentality that burnt witches. Maybe in a previous life I was a witch in my previous life, and I got burnt by some mob of people with pitchforks and shit. Maybe that's why it's you know, like somewhere in my deep kind of reincarnated ancestry, I was burnt as a witch, and I'm still not. I haven't forgiven humanity.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's fair. Okay.
I don't know where that came from.
Growing up in Salem.
Did you hear that noise?
Just honor your ancestors then in that.
Yeah. All my Umtagati ancestors.
Exactly.
Andre says, I hate all mobs, especially sport or party mobs. Yeah, that's maybe a good correlation too. Like I don't enjoy like making a big fuss of a sports team. I mean, I got into the World Cup just because my brother and I were Argentina fans, but I don't really watch sport for the same reason. I don't get around, you know, all the other oaks and be like, yeah, our team just scored a goal or whatever. It's just not a thing for me. Maybe I'm the odd one out. Leanne, you're on mute.
It's like that with European football for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Where, especially in the UK, you see grown men singing and crying. It makes me uncomfortable.
And beating up other grown men who are supporting the other team. You know, like there are all those fanatical Eastern European clubs too. Particularly in Poland, they've got a problem with that because they're these like roving mobs of football fans. And I know the English have a very bad reputation in that front too. And they go around and they like look for fights with the supporters of the opposite team. Like, I don't get that kind of mob group thing.
Mm.
Thank God I don't have that desire.
Gosh.
Very weird.
I don't know how I'd be able to look at my older brother, my father, seeing them cry over a sports result. That would make me, yeah.
Ooh, you're getting into dangerous territory now. There are lots of South African men whose whole week used to be in the days when sport, live sport, was an important thing. And it really was an important thing. There are tons of adult men in this country who had a bad week because their sports team did badly on the Saturday. And then they'd have a great week if they won.
I get it. Even some people like who faint at those who fainted at a Michael Jackson concert or something. I'd be like, get it together, dude. Now you've actually miss out on the whole concert because you've passed out and you have to be pulled out on a stretcher. Please.
Yeah.
Be sober. Keep it together.
Oh, listen, the humans are very complex creatures. Sometimes we are exactly counterintuitive to what we're trying to achieve. And we all self-sabotage sometimes, you know, so none of us is above the rest of them when it comes to that kind of stupidity. All right. That's about all we got time for this morning, though. It is a Monday and I hope you have a very good start to your week. We will catch up with you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Leanne Moll, thank you for being here. Siya Sangweni, and most especially you. We will see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com